Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With six hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
Amen.
Good morning, my dear sisters and brothers. Today we celebrate the great feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, continuing the work of Jesus, reminding us and teaching us all he said and did. Let us now call to mind our sins, acknowledge our sins in order to prepare ourselves for these sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, who by the mystery of today's great feast sanctify your whole church in every people and nation, pour out, we pray, the gifts of your Holy Spirit across the face of the earth. And with the divine grace that was at work when the gospel was first proclaimed, fill now once more the hearts of all believers, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one of them heard speaking in his own tongue. They were astounded, And in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome. Yet we hear them speaking in our own languages of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts by the same Spirit. There are different forms of service by the same Lord. There are different workings by the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For if one For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Today we celebrate the great feast of Pentecost. As we know, it's been often presented to us as the birthday of the church. And while this is true, as we look at the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, which we had read today, that church is also each one of us in its individual parts, motivating us in various charisms to teach, to reach out to the poor. And I think we could easily today, thinking of those variety of gifts that the Holy Spirit has inspired in the church and continues to inspire in the church, could be encapsulated in the works of mercy. The church is the church that feeds the hungry, that gives drink to the thirsty, that clothes the naked, shelters the homeless, visits the sick, visits the imprisoned, and buries its dead. It is also the church that counsels the doubtful, instructs the ignorant, admonishes sinners, comforts the afflicted, forgives offenses, bears wrongs patiently, and prays for the living and the dead. These works of mercy are works of the church, works that you and I are called to live out in our daily life. We know that the church is not just the church that teaches. It is not just a church that does charitable works. The church is one, and the variety of ministries, the variety of expressions, which all express one reality, which is Jesus Christ, is a church which comes together, especially at the Eucharist, with its variety of gifts. And so as we celebrate this feast of Pentecost, we celebrate the church in all of its expressions. We know that to be church today, to be the body of Christ today, is not an easy task. It is not for the faint-hearted. It is not for the weak. Our Holy Father, at the beginning of the Year of Mercy, spoke to young people, to teenagers especially and to young adults. And it's something I've been quoting in all of the confirmations that we've been doing, the last one being this afternoon here at the cathedral. But it impressed me a couple of things that he said to the young people. But since we are all young in the spirit of Jesus, they're addressed to us as well. He said that during this year of mercy, to learn what love is, which is the expression which mercy expresses, to learn what love is, you must be generous, courageous, and real. And I think that expresses in many ways who we need to be in this modern age, with all of its challenges, the moral challenges, the social challenges, the political, economic challenges that we face day after day after day. We have to be generous. God did not set boundaries on his generosity with us in sending us the first advocate, who is Jesus Christ, his only son. God's generosity extended beyond his own boundaries of his love, his immense love for his son. And so as Jesus refers to the other advocate, we realize he is the first advocate who has come to reconcile us as children of God. And so our love must be also generous. It also has to be courageous. There are different times, there are different places, there are different situations when it would be very easy for us to pull back, to ignore, to turn away from. And in doing so, we would be like Adam and Eve in the garden, who realized they had sinned. And the first thing they did was hid from God. To not be courageous in loving is to hide from God, to recognize that we are sinners and to hide from God and not be courageous in reaching out to others. And the third quality, being generous, courageous, and being real. Love is not just an idea. Love is just not a thought. I love those people over there, or I love my neighbor down my street, but it's being real. What does my neighbor need? Even if it is a smile, even if it is a phone call, even if it is something simple. The beautiful saint, the doctor of the church, Teresa the Little Flower, spoke of the little way, the simple way. Yesterday I was taking just a little break and I saw the video or the film of St. Therese on EWTN, and I just saw the little part where she went to help the elderly nun go into the refectory for dinner, and the elderly nun kept saying, she was trying to lift her out of a chair and she grabbed her arm, "Oh, that hurts. Stop being so rough with me." And she said, "Well, let me try another way, sister." And she tried four or five different ways until she finally found a way. It would be easy for us when we're kind of scolded in that way, when we're trying to love, to just turn away. But Therese taught, and that's why she's a doctor of the church, to try the simple way of loving. And so she continued and found a way to love. Love is not some huge idea that's beyond us. Love, as Jesus spoke of in the gospel today, is written in our hearts. Written in our hearts. And so to learn what mercy really is, to learn what the works of the Spirit are today in these corporal and spiritual works of mercy, we need to be generous, courageous, and concrete and real in our love. The Christian life with the Holy Spirit is about taking baby steps day after day. We have heroic saints who in an instant became saints, but most of us live the little way that St. Teresa describes, the little way, day after day after day. And you know, being a huge hero is much easier than living life day after day with the same people in the same place and the same situation, and being generous and courageous and real day after day with the same people. But that is who we are. Christianity is not just an idea. And so the work of the Spirit, as Jesus presented it to us in the gospel today, is to do two things. To teach us, not something new. And how many people out there today are saying, I have the real Spirit and teaching something new? The Spirit never comes to contradict what Jesus has already taught us in the Scriptures and that the Church holds in its treasury of teaching. So it's not a new teaching, but to teach in depth what Jesus taught us, and also to remind us in every moment of our life what Jesus taught and what Jesus wants of us in each moment. Another thing that the Holy Father said to the young people, which I think is extremely timely and so important for each one of us to remember, he said, I want you as young people, and I think today on Pentecost Sunday, there are no classes in the church. I want all of you, to go against the tide. Those are his words. Now, in Corpus Christi, we all know what the tide is. We've all been to the beach. We know what the waves are, the high tide and the low tide. And we know when those waves are rolling in, and if we're trying to swim a little bit, it's pretty hard going against the current, against the tide. But it's a tremendous issue. It's a tremendous image for us to keep in mind as we walk this little way of Christian life day after day, meeting different people every day, presented different things, is to not adapt ourselves to the incoming tide, the tide of social error, the tide of moral relevance, the tide of all sorts of things which are presented as good for the human person. We have the teaching of Jesus Christ that every life, from beginning to natural death, from the womb to the tomb, is sacred. The tide that we're facing doesn't always believe that. And we're facing issues not only at the beginning of life, but we face issues now, and more so, about the end of life, because it seems to be caring to cut someone's life short against the law of God. That's the tide going this way. The tide that speaks to young people especially about certain styles of life, which your grandparents used to hold on to differently, but we've got the new way. And enticing young people through pornography, through all sorts of images, all sorts of lifestyles, to join the tide coming in, the new tide, etc., etc., etc. To ignore those who are in need. What do they have to do with you? Part of the tide. And the tide, sisters and brothers, as you and I know, gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And even among our own ranks, there are people who do not think the way Jesus Christ thinks, the way God has taught us through him and reminds us through the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't take off on our own. We remain together in the life of the church which teaches us and assures us of the authentic teaching of the church. It's not open game to be a Christian. It's not open season to think what I want and take what I want and leave what I don't. Christianity is not about joining a certain culture of people, praying and acting in a certain way, or adhering to a certain doctrine and ignoring everything else. And so we have to be very careful and astute, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Because if we are going to join the young people who are called to go against the tide, it means to follow Jesus in every moment. And when it is difficult and it separates us from the tide coming in, well, so be it. So be it. So be it. And that is the reason that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us. That is the reason that we celebrate this day of Pentecost, not just as a memory, but as a renewal of our faith, a reinforcement of our faith. Jesus promised us a couple of times in the gospel that he would not leave us orphans. Jesus' departure is undermined in its original meaning. When someone leaves, they're gone. It's undermined by the fact that God has sent the second advocate, the Holy Spirit, one that is not seen as Jesus was seen, but is as real as we are standing here today. Are we alert to the Holy Spirit? Have we opened our hearts to the Holy Spirit? If we are going to go against the tide, we must rely on the Holy Spirit, who gives us the gift of wisdom. When everyone else is teaching and talking about other things, we ask for wisdom. We ask for understanding, to understand the world as it is today, and to understand that amidst all the confusion, God is at work. God is in control. The gift of knowledge, the gift of counsel, to be able to make good decisions with the Holy Spirit, the gift of fortitude, courage, piety, and fear of the Lord. All of those gifts are ours. I would ask us, as we hopefully take on this challenge of the Pope, to learn to love generously, courageously, and in a real way, to go against the tide, that we would become people of prayer. People who, at the beginning of the day, who may have to face something very, very difficult, a challenge at work, a challenge in the family, to stop. Rely less on yourself and say, Holy Spirit, give me the wisdom and the courage to be Jesus today. Prayer in silence. Give me the gift which I already have. Inflame in me the gift of wisdom to speak what will build up people and not tear them down. The gift of courage to be brave in my witness. Or in a new moment, in trying to counsel someone, to speak to someone, or maybe even correct, give me the gift of understanding and counsel. My sisters and brothers, these free gifts, not found at Walmart or anywhere else, but free gifts from Almighty God are there. Use them. Spend time to stop and pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. And let us take up the charge to go against the tide of society today. Not to blame, not to judge, but to witness. Our going against the tide is not a show. It is a mere witness that one God lives in our hearts, and that is Jesus Christ, empowered by his Spirit today. Now let us stand and profess our faith together. I believe in one God, Father the Almighty, the life-giving Spirit has visited our church and has called us to be church. So let us now pray.
For God's holy church, as we rejoice in the life given to us by the Holy Spirit and work to share that life with the world around us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who have celebrated sacraments of initiation this Easter season, may they continue to grow and appreciate gifts of the Holy Spirit given to them at their initiation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are graduating from school this month, as they look back on what they have done and look forward to the new challenges, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are discerning vocations to the priesthood or religious life, in response to the call of the Holy Spirit during this Jubilee Year of Mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our troops, that they may protect and that their efforts to secure peace and justice may meet success, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Evangeline Hernandez, Michael Hayes, Ben Mir, Jesus A. Garza, Rafael Ornelas, and for the intentions of Yvonne Garza, who celebrates her birthday, and for the intentions of Michelle and Stephen Taylor, who celebrate their anniversary, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for all the prayers we hold in the silence of our hearts. And for all our intentions spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
Loving God, through the sacrament of baptism and confirmation, your Spirit permanently resides in our lives. Open our hearts to hear the voice of the Spirit each day, so that we may follow you in the unity of the Church through Christ our Lord. Amen. pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that as promised by your Son, the Holy Spirit may reveal to us more abundantly the hidden mystery of this sacrifice and graciously lead us into all truth through Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for bringing your paschal mystery to completion, you bestowed the Holy Spirit on those you made your adopted children by uniting them to your only begotten Son. This same Spirit, as the church came to birth, opened to all peoples the knowledge of God, and brought together the many languages of the earth in the profession of one of the one true faith. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise. And even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son,
Jesus Christ. And all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.